I believe all of you are aware that yesterday morning we received a very saddening news to all of us, and that is our sister Anna. She went home to the Lord in the morning, 7:15 a.m. And Sister Anna was among us for about 3 years in the past 26 days. She struggled for her life. She fought for her life. And in these 26 days, we knew that sometimes she was well, sometimes she's very bad. And for a certain moment, we heard that it seems that she has she took a turn for the better. And at that moment, we received strength in our heart. And when we were at the mission trips, because of this good news, we received strength to preach boldly. But later on, we heard that her condition deteriorated. And at one point, when it went into the critical state, we are all very anxious. And when we are very anxious, we can only put our hope in the Lord, who can resurrect even the dead. And so we put our prayers for her, and in His sovereignty, God took her away. And why do I say that? A saint, a glorious person, a glorious people of God, whether the person's condition is good or bad, even if the person lies in weakness on the bed, his condition will always bless and bring benefits to people around him. And he can bring strength to God's people and God's church to really complete God's work in a very careful way. People of the world may not see this, but we believers must see it. And this is the first thing we must see. And secondly, our sister Anna, she not only was infected with COVID, with the novel coronavirus, she also had certain heart disease and hypertension. And she was in ill health. And those of us who know her, we know that she was down with shingles for 3 months. And so she was absent from our midst for 3 months. But yesterday morning, she was healed from all these sicknesses. Why do I say that? Because we know that when sins left the world, we have already been liberated from all the sin, the sicknesses, and even death. We are liberated from the sin, death, and sickness of our body. And so we will go to a place without pain, without sorrow, without tears. And so the Bible tells us that those of us who died in the Lord, we are blessed because we have rested from our labor on earth. Because on earth, there is full of sufferings, and the sufferings will only increase and not diminish. From the moment we are born to this world, we have different pains. Even after getting married and having children, we have respective sufferings. And when we are with people, we have the suffering of being in comparison, envy, and our selfish desires make us miserable. And when we look at the whole world, not long ago, there is unrest in the world, like the unrest in Hong Kong, and there are also trade wars, and people are all concerned about the economy. And now, what we fear most is this virus hitting the whole world globally. And so all these are sufferings. Whether it's a large-scale suffering or a personal struggle. You know, some of you, you know, our dear sister, Sophia, she's the daughter of our Reverend Lee. Actually, she's due to get married next month. She booked everything, bought everything, but later on, she had to cancel her wedding. And at an individual level, this is a lifetime event, so it's a very saddening thing. But my dear brothers and sisters, we all prayed for our sister Anna. From the first day she got admitted into the hospital, we have been praying. Up to the point where she breathed her last, we are still praying that God, you will have mercy on her. If she can live on, only one thing, she can continue to glorify you. But the Lord has determined the number of days for her, and he took her away. So she was liberated from this earth and the suffering of her flesh. So this is good for her and good for people around her. Amen. This is the assurance that we believers should have. Our perspective toward death. When we face death, we should have the courage. Although in our human nature, we will feel sad, but there is answer in our hearts. So our dear brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord is always being fulfilled. God's word will not weaken just because of death. The word of God is light in darkness, and in human suffering, God's word brings us comfort. And when humans are proud, God's word brings us the warning. And so this is the word of God for us. And next, what I want to say is, because our sister Anna is the first deaf among the COVID-19 in Singapore, so the entire attention of the nation is now once again on us. And it is at this moment when the whole nation, they are in shock because of this incident. So among us, those who are closer to Sister Anna, especially the elderly, perhaps because of this you may have hurts. And for the rest of our brothers and sisters, even though we may not be so familiar with our Sister Anna, but at this moment, your family members will also give you pressure, especially if you attend this church. So it is inevitable that you will have to face certain pressure. But at this moment, what does the word of the Lord tell us? That we must be most concerned about, and we must pray most for the family members of our Sister Anna. She has two sons who are unbelievers, and she has a daughter who's a believer, and her husband will visit church occasionally. This is what we understand about her family, even though we are not so close with the family. But we know that if this happens to us, and now the family is under certain pressure. And yesterday when many media looked for us, we urged the media to give the family members some space. Of course, up to this point, we have to tell you that because this is the first case of death of COVID-19 in Singapore, so we have to understand what is the government regulation concerning such funeral. But we know that today, tonight, there will be a one-time wake. In our church, only 5 people can visit. So I've already appointed 5 people plus me, 5 of us will go to this cremation service. So the rest of you, you will not be able to attend, but in your heart, please remember their family. So the church must do the right thing. This is what we must do the most. No matter what the media says, no matter how the people of the nation reacted, now everyone will get fearful because of one word. Because everyone is fearful of death, but everyone will get to encounter death one day. So have you ever thought about the issue of death? When a person faces death from afar, and when everyone responded to death from afar, that kind of heart versus now death draws near someone close to me who is my family member, these two are different. It comes with different feelings of the heart. No one can overcome death, and no one can be above the fear of death. No one's will and optimism can win over the fear of death. No matter how the leaders urge us not to fear, we will fear all the more. So if you do not have the assurance of eternal life, then how can you overcome the fear of death? Can you boost your courage to try to overcome? You cannot. Only our Lord Jesus, who died and resurrected, He ever triumphed over death, and He will eternally triumph over death. And He promised that to all of us who believe in Him, we will have the eternal life and the resurrected life. So how we look at things will be different from people of the world. From our human nature, we will feel sad. But we have this unique perspective. We know that ultimately we will leave this world. Whether you live till 70 years old, 80 years old, 100 years old, or even 7 years old, when you departed from this world, the important thing is you can meet this Lord. How many of the people of the world can meet the Lord when they die? So God told us, you have to go and make disciples of all nations. You have to spread the gospel. And this is the command of God to us. Sometimes when we see that people in the society died, or among our relatives, if we see anyone leave the world, that is to remind us what is the purpose of our living. If death doesn't bring us such message and alert and warning, then what can death bring us? So, dear Christians, when we live on earth at this moment, it is not that we get busy discussing whether we should suspend our church meeting. Yes, of course, if the whole nation locked down, then the church can stop its meetings. But what is the lesson and reminders for us right now at this moment? So let us think through. No matter how we look at it, how we look at things cannot go beyond God's truth. And finally, in this matter, I really want to encourage the elderly among us, our senior people around us, because this thing happened to our sister Anna. So in elderly fellowship, we always hang around with her. So of course, you will naturally feel very sad. So our elderly brother and sister, God is with you. God will not abandon you because you are elderly, but instead, because you are elderly, your remaining days are all the more precious. Our sister Anna, she departed the world. At least it will shake the whole nation for a while. And the news that we keep hearing is that this virus is more dangerous toward the elderly. And indeed so, based on the scientific and medical angle, because the immune system of the elderly is slightly weaker, but you must not be afraid or retreat. Because by the word of God, you who are old, you need to dream dreams in your remaining days is extra precious. In your remaining days, there is this dignified purpose and plan of God. And to whichever level you have attained, and when you completed God's mission, then you can go and see God gloriously. This is the will that God has for the elderly people among us. So our elderly brethren, we thank God that in this church, the pastor will preach for about 1 hour, and all of you are able to withstand this. In the past, I always heard the feedback from the elderly brethren that they cannot withstand 20 minutes of sermon, but now they can hear up to 1 hour of sermon. So you pray for the pastor, you pray for the church. Your time is precious, so your prayers are all the more precious. So we hope that this incident can strengthen the elderly instead of making the elderly fear. Cheerful heart is a happy heart is good medicine. If your heart is full of assurance and peace, then your immune system will be strengthened. God is with you. And we pray that through this matter, our elderly fellowship will have another breakthrough, another timetable. Let everyone say Amen. Let's all pray right now. Dear Lord, we thank you that through today's worship, your servant is going to preach your word to the church. Lord, please greatly encourage us. We know that in this matter, Lord, you have chosen our church to go through this tribulation. But we also know that your grace is sufficient. Your grace, your power is made perfect in our weakness. So, O Lord, at this moment, we pray in one heart for the family of Sister Anna and her family. Lord, please personally comfort them, help and support them, so that among them, those who still do not know you can come before you, that those among them who know you at this moment, they will be able to manifest the assurance of a Christian. So particularly, bless tonight's very brief funeral service. No matter what kind of pressure comes upon us, Lord, you are with us. Lord, you are with the family of the deceased. And through this, Lord, let blessings first come to their family, and then, Lord, let your blessing come to the church of yours. And finally, through the Lord's church, who receive the reminder and receive the strengthening, we know the value of the gospel. Lord, through this, bless this whole country such that this pandemic will gradually disappear. Lord, please work personally. Lord, we know that what humans can do is limited, but Lord, you allow all this to happen is so that we can, so that you can turn the human attention to you. And you can point us to the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection, that in the state where humans, we fear death so much, we can hear the gospel that can make the dead come alive. Lord, please bless and help and encourage all of us. We thank you and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And so at this moment, today's service, we still have to carry on with the sermon. And we know that right now the government has already set certain rules, so we have to sit apart from one another, except that family members, you can sit together. The rest, we should at least sit one seat apart. So I've asked all the co-workers to rearrange the seating arrangement. So today we have to remember our sister Anna. So we cannot cut short the service, but after this, I will discuss with the leaders to shorten the service in future. So I believe the Lord wants to encourage all of us. I just come back from mission trip. I'm not quarantined by the law. So before the restriction kicks in, I really came back to Singapore. And so I'm here with you to go through this difficulty. And God has certain words for us. And now we see that this illness have spread to the whole world. And what happens in Malaysia will most affect us. And so Malaysia is the country in ASEAN with the highest number of cases. And so, in such lockdowns among nations, what is God telling us? So let's take a look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. So, chapter 11, verse 4. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves." Whose name? Human name. Human civilization. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." So, we humans, we come together, and that's why sin will reach its full measure. Because when people come together, it's not to fear God, but it's just to exalt human civilization, human power, human wisdom. And then it's like Titanic. You know, how can such a large ship sink? But when it hit the iceberg, it will sink. So God is not afraid that humans are smarter than him. But because God wants to preserve human life, God doesn't want humans to perish but have the chance to know God. So what did God do? So verse 7, God say, "Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. the city which they boast about. And that is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So my dear brothers and sisters, as this pandemic continues to spread, people just get very fearful. Everyone is afraid. Everyone just let go of their shares, and the purchasing power is affected, and a lot of cities are under lockdown, and everyone is afraid. And there are 300,000 people from Malaysia crossing over to Singapore every day, but now this is being affected. So actually, one word, in one word, it is ultimately, no matter how humans are united, eventually people are only caring about themselves. Because of sin, humans are all selfish because they do not love God. So the one they love most is themselves. But you say there is love in the world, there are good people in the world, that's because they have not come to the extreme and limitations. When the situation is so dire to the utmost state, you will see that human love just gradually grow cold. This is not something we do not know. Last week, we already knew this. So you have to understand that in the Tower of Babel, everyone shared the same language. And with the same language, they boast about human civilization, human wisdom. So they built tower, they built city to reach the heavens. And today, do we also share the same language? We may have different physical language, but there's another kind of same language. Now, there is globalization and everyone needs each other. Everyone needs each other's money, investment, my opinion, my medical science. Everyone comes together. And when everyone comes together, there's only one purpose. That is to prosper, to flourish, to be secure. And then we continue to enjoy the days on earth. And when you talk about biblical truth, they just say that everyone has their own truth. So when human civilization gets developed, you will see this is how the world becomes. And so they just treat the Bible optional and anyhow interpret the Bible. They can throw the Bible away or they can refer to the Bible until what happens? Until this kind of pandemic comes. This is just merely one sign of the end times. But when the pandemic comes, you realize that nations are locked down from one another. Between person and person, they have suspicions. They have hatred. Do you still want to go to church? So such things happen. And such things arise. So in such situation, you realize that people are scattered again and people isolate themselves. So things in human heart and matters concerning sin, concerning human depravity, concerning the world's suffering, concerning how humans reacted to sufferings, the Bible already talked about all these things because ultimately humans only care for themselves. And so when people come together, especially when the world's civilization come together to exhort humans, this is not something good. Throughout history, you can see that. So God said in Psalms that why do the nations come together to conspire and the people's plot in vain? Actually, they came up to rise against the anointed one of the Lord to go against the gospel. So last 2 weeks ago, I shared with you the two witnesses in the book of Revelation that they represented the church. And after sharing their testimony, they were killed. And when their bodies lie on the streets, all people, all nations, they were very happy. And they sent gifts to one another. They blessed one another. Why? Because the message of judgment that the two witnesses shared, it causes the heaven to shut up without rain, and all kinds of disasters came upon the world. And so when they ended their lives and their messages on judgment, and then humans can live as they please. You can be homosexual, you can go for abortion. These are human rights. This is the human love, and no one can oppose that. And then the whole world no longer have any opposing voices towards human civilization and humanism, and that's what happens. But you will know ultimately what happens. So when we say that sin has reached its full measure, it means, it doesn't mean, you know, you just go around the world and then there's some people who place bombs on themselves and bomb themselves or kill others. Of course, that is, those are atrocious sins. But you will not see everyone in the world doing that kind of thing. Only a minority people of the people will do this. But you realize that when the whole world gets unified, the first thing they will do is they will dilute, they will weaken this book of this Bible, and they will raise up human civilization. They trust in human science, human medical science, human politicians, and they will cast the Bible aside. And this is the whole mankind's sin reach its full measure. And then judgment will come from heaven, because God is righteous. Because judgment is not just the jurisdiction and the laws on earth. Because when judgment came from heaven, suddenly a virus may come. The Bible has clearly said all these things. I'm merely a spokesman of God. And at this moment, my dear brothers and sisters, one thing you need to know is, despite this, the loving God, He still has loving kindness. So when judgment is being sent from heaven, and when the judgment came down, at the same time, because on two sides of the same coin, God is righteous, but He is also loving. So when judgment comes in the form of famine, sicknesses, etc., at the same time, God's love is also revealed. So as this pandemic spreads, you realize that God's redemption, God's salvation, God's loving kindness is also revealed. Of course, at the human dimension, right now, humans, they are always researching on the vaccines, and the healthcare professionals, they tried their best to help the sick. This is good and this is right. But you know that this can merely save human lives, human bodies, but they cannot save human souls. But in the midst of human fears, you must spread the gospel. If you don't spread the gospel right now, when can you spread the gospel? Because when everything is over, people will just pursue economical prosperity again. Are you going to spread the gospel then? It is right now at this moment where people are losing hope. You have to share with them the gospel of hope. Why does the mission team have to go to Taiwan? Do you know, very nervous, because as we go to a city, it shut down one by one. So the moment I get onto my flight, Taiwan went into lockdown. And when I get off from the plane and arrive in Singapore, only the visitors from Taiwan need not go through quarantine. But 2 days later, the rules change again, that travelers from any part of the world, they need to stay home for 14 days. So after completing the mission of God in Taiwan, almost everyone wore masks. Only the preacher didn't wear masks. But you have to know, some people say, "So pastor, you just came back from overseas, you are very dangerous." You have to understand that the place that I visited, Taiwan, is safer than Singapore. So in Taiwan, there's only 40 plus cases, and here we have hundreds of cases. So John and family joined us for the mission trip. I told them, you know, that it's safe in Taiwan. Of course, when we went up to the plane, we have to disinfect the areas, the surfaces, and wear the mask, and then we come down off the plane. But what I'm trying to say right now is, in this difficult moment, in this pandemic, the mission that God has given the church must be fulfilled. God sent believers to evangelize. And when Sister Anna's matter happened, the elderly brethren in our church must raise up, and you must really pray for the rest of the elderly people. The elderly doesn't just come to church to participate in mid-autumn celebration or to chit-chat and to eat. God wants to give you visions and dreams, and God give you the mission. You have to finish that mission to go and see the Lord. And that is what the gospel of redemption tells us. So you must not look at things like, you know, because right now the news always reported things like, you know, whichever politician or celebrity contracted this coronavirus. Because news concerning the celebrity is very popular, so it gives you the impression that almost the whole world is contracting the virus. Do not be afraid. You just do what you need to do, and God will protect you. Because when you do the will of God, there'll be transcending peace in your heart. Of course, we need to go through certain, we need to still have certain precautionary measures. Later on, Elder Zimin will announce, because as the number of cases increase, we need certain precautionary measures. But right now, what I want to tell you is God's word keeps fulfilling. And now let's turn to another passage from Isaiah. So this message is what I prepared after Sister Anna's matter happened. So I pray again and re-prepared the sermon. So Isaiah chapter 24, verse 10. The ruined city lies desolate. The entrance to every house is barred. Is it something like the situation right now? Now this passage talk about what? That eventually when God judged the world, this is what happened. But I want to tell you, this pandemic is still not its fullest measure. The signs of end times, the judgment of end times is still not full yet. This pandemic is just a glimpse into what the end times will be like. So such a thing like this will come and pass. So these are God's warnings to people of the world so that people of the world can quickly come to God. So those who believe and repent will surely be saved. If all along you have not considered baptism, this is the right time to think about this. You've come to church, you've been hearing the messages, but what does all these things, including the pandemic, tell us? Among the 500 plus churches in Singapore, God chose us to be the first church with infection and the first church to have the first death case. Actually, this matter will pass quickly, but what is God trying to tell us? And as I pray before God, and I say, God, if this has to happen to us, if we are the chosen one, then of course it will happen. So I cannot just pray, you know, God, don't let it happen to me. Then can I pray it happen to any other churches? If this is what God allowed to happen in our church, then God will give us the strength and answers, the courage to face this. So in my heart, I also pray about precautionary measures. Some people just ask our church, why do you still continue your meetings? Because some brethren, they still want to gather. Because some brethren, they still believe in spiritual authority. No doubt we take the cue from government also, but we will not risk your well-being. So later on, we will announce more about precautionary measures, not just in this aircon room, but later on when you go to other places, it is also same. We need to be careful. Next verse, the city is left in ruins, its gate is battered to pieces, so will it be on the earth and among the nations as when an olive tree is beaten or as when gleanings are left after the grape harvest. And in such a situation, what can you do? Are you still going to the shopping center? At this moment, other than going to the church and your children going to school, quickly go back home. At this moment, this is roughly what you should do. Other than coming to the church to get protected, or you go to buy grocery or things to eat. Do you know why the pastor shared this in the Instagram? I saw that in America, some young people in Florida, They say we must be united. Nothing can stop us from partying. This is indeed the foolish will be the first to perish. When this global event comes, you don't have to prove anything. As long as the Word of God, the church, and you need to guard your heart, live simply, and wait for what God wants to do. And stay at home to listen more to the message, to spread the message, and God Himself will be victorious. God has His own timing. And then you say, now, life is not good. Our business is not good. Then you just go out lesser, and when you go out lesser, you spend lesser also. So, here, what does it say? In that day, the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. So powers in the heavens, that refers to the demonic power, and the kings on the earth below. And who are the kings? These are the servants of Satan. These are the kings on the earth. So throughout history, we saw Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, Rome. So on the earth, kings who do not know God but who exalted themselves, all these political powers, God will punish. God will humble them. Isn't God doing that right now? Is God doing that right now? This is what God already revealed in His Word. When you read the Word of God, you will know God will punish what needs to be punished. God will humble whom those who need to be humbled. And God will prosper those who should be prospered. Now chapter 26, on this mountain, Isaiah 24, verse 23, the moon will be dismayed and the sun ashamed. Meaning the lights that humans depended on, the earthly lights. For the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before its elders with great glory. Then turn to Isaiah 25, verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove His people's disgrace from all the earth. Our shame, our disgrace. Maybe now we feel slightly ashamed or disgraced, but it will all be removed. The Lord has spoken. And let's read together. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. So we have to wait upon the Lord. When sufferings and tribulations come, for that moment, we really wanted liberation. But liberation is about you waiting upon the Lord, because God is completing great things. So God's Word itself is the truth. So how do you look at the Word of God? So sometimes say God's Word talk about history, what happens in Egypt and Assyria, how they were judged. But it's not just merely history, because history is past and proven. It is proven that God's Word is always being fulfilled. But God's Word doesn't just merely give people principles of living, what should we do or not do. Of course, that is also included in God's Word, you know, between husband and wife, parent and children, how do you use your wealth, etc. But more correctly, God's Word is a revelation. And revelation means it tells you things that you never knew nor never feel. Is that the case? The world will go toward destruction. You never feel so, and you don't know how to explain this pandemic when it comes. But God's word is a revelation. It tells you what happens in future. It is already happening, and it will happen. And then when you say, when you hear this, you'll be wondering, is that so? Is that so? Then one day, when it really happened, when reality really strikes, so this reality match the truth of God. So this match is very important, because people of the world, they cannot see God, and so they struggle. And even believers, when they have weak faith and they cannot see God, but when something happens, when pandemic comes, sicknesses and all kinds of things happen, then suddenly you remember. The Lord says, haven't I told you earlier? Haven't I been prophesying? Haven't you been hearing your pastor speak of this all the time? Haven't you been reading the Bible, but it doesn't make sense to you as you read? It seems as if something very far away. No, you say you are coming, but I've been waiting for so long and yet you are not coming. Then suddenly, when the pandemic comes, cities are under lockdown, people are letting go of their shares, and suddenly this great Babylon collapses, and then you realize the work of the beast, but how God triumphs. And suddenly when two witnesses share the testimony, and all the more fiercely sharing at the end times, and then suddenly all this happened, then you realize that God's word and God's truth and God's revelation, which we have treated with contempt in the past, when the reality strikes, you have to be careful. You have to see that God's word is always being fulfilled. And this is also the truth that the people of the world treated with contempt. And so if this pandemic is over and you didn't learn the lesson, and just look at what the government is doing, what the scientists is doing. Well, then they found the vaccines. Then you just forgot about this, like SARS. And then glory will be attributed to who? Then you'll be, of course, I thank the Lord. I also thank everyone for making the country peaceful. This is a very secular heart. And this is the state of believers in the church, very secular. So when life goes back to normal, will they fear God? Will they evangelize? Will they yearn and anticipate for the returning and the coming of the Lord? No. We have been through so many times, and we know that when such things happen, right now, it's only right now that people are afraid. So I want to say, I want to bring your focus out of this epidemic. Recently, I don't know whether you have read news that talk about the young people right nowadays between the ages of 18 to 35. When they interviewed these young people concerning abortion, those of the age between 18 to 35, about one third of them, including your children, they think that abortion is not wrong. This is humanistic thinking, human choices. Another one-third mentioned that this is wrong only under certain circumstances. This is the views of another one-third. So the remaining one-third was of the view that it is wrong. So if you ask your children, those children who go to church, which one-thirds do they belong to? You go back and ask your children. Of course, if you are in our church from the beginning, we have a very clear stand on this, that this is a human life. Even if you have done something wrong, give birth to the life and raise up the life. But from here, you know what is meant by a fallen world, a depraved world. The world which treated the truth with contempt and then exalt humanism. So nothing is coincidental. Nothing is by chance, because God's righteousness will be revealed from heaven. And so, under such reality, and so I cannot come down the stage to be too near you, but in such reality, you have to remember that we, holy people, we must be careful. We must not do unrighteous things. We must not covet ill-gotten gains, especially when shares have now reached very low prices. Some people may be thinking, now we have to purchase more shares and stocks. This kind of crisis wealth is, you know, when people are fearing, in fear, you just charge the mask, used to be $1, become now $5. So when our church, when this thing happened to our church, some people called us to ask whether we want to buy sanitizers or vitamins. We asked, are you wanting to offer to us? Then they say, who want to offer to you? Are we very close to you? So these are people who really want to earn money in crisis. Now, if you have any benefits, you have to give it to the society, to all the people. Not long ago, when the matter happened in Wuhan, our mission team also sent our offerings to Wuhan, and we printed books to send to China. But now suddenly, there's no cases in China. I don't know whether we should send the book to Europe instead. But what I want to say is, believers will not earn money in crisis. But believers, we just wait in peace. And when you, and God will guard you, protect you. If you just seize the opportunity to earn wealth in this crisis, even if you earn certain money, you will not feel peaceful. So this is the Christian value. And now, in this situation, I will share in the sermon next week, because now it's not appropriate to talk about it. Today, I want to talk a bit about the Antichrist today. But when such matter happens, we know that God shows His salvation, but you must know that the work of the Antichrist will also rise up. I ask my children whether they have noticed that when these infection cases keeps coming, what is the toughest thing for the government? And it is contact tracing. If one thing happens to a person, where has this person done in these 4 days? What kind of transport, public transport he has taken? Whom has he come into contact with? So now the government is very tough in doing contact tracing. If they are a bit more anxious or impatient, you need to be understanding. But as I think about contact tracing, if it's very simple, if you computerize everything, if you monitor a person, for example, if they put a chip in you, then no matter what you do, you purchase food, you take the Grab transportation, you just keep going through the system, and people will know your movements. So this will come sooner or later. This is just a prelude to this. So now many things will happen in the world. Have you read the news? Even the medicine, there's this research on what kind of medication to use to treat coronavirus. So they are using computer system as well. So the whole world will ultimately be computerized. Because the Bible told us that eventually the man of lawlessness will raise himself up, and the man of lawlessness refers to Antichrist, and he wants to be equal with God, and he will deceive and tempt those who are not safe, those who do unrighteous things and oppose the truth. So all these things will be developing in a latent state. And as things develop, they will think about how to trace, how to integrate medical information and other data. And ultimately, this will happen. And so how can we equip ourselves? So next week, I'll share about that. Today, I have no time to talk about that, because I have to prepare the hearts of believers. Every sermon, I really prepare with my blood and sweat. So finally, I want to finish with this portion. So when will this pandemic end? Who can answer this question? So up to now, some brethren may say, Pastor, you say, you know, this pandemic is spreading and God is judging, but when will God's love be revealed? Actually, God's love is already present. But we know that among us, there's many things happening. Some of us may be facing retrenchment or business is poor. And then we ask, when is this going to end? I have no absolute answers, but my prayers. And I believe that, but I know that this pandemic will not end by the hands of humans. It's not because whichever nation discover a vaccine. When God allow this pandemic, is to give the world a warning, and He Himself will dissolve this pandemic. But the problem is when. Because now, based on the data information you read, almost 90% is negative. Some say that it will only end at the end of the year, and some people say it will only end in 2 years' time. So when you hear such reports, everyone just get hopeless. So I asked my daughter, are you still going for O-level? They really cancelled all their competitions and ball games. So of course, the children, they will be very happy when there's no exams. But let me tell you, my vibes, my gut feel, I cannot say it's certainly right, but my gut feel is, if the infected cases come to hit the country, for example in Malaysia, maybe it will slow down in 3 months' time. Why do I say that? Recently, I read a report. Of course, I didn't just anyhow comment, but I read certain report. So I read this report written by this biophysicist. So he deal with bio life. So he did a calculation. The province of not the province, the in Wuhan, China, the infection was the worst from the 1st to the 7th February. And every day, the rate of infection increased by 30%. And every day, 1,800 people got infected. And it peaked in 7 days from 1st to 7th February. And later on, after that, the exponential growth starts to decline. So Wuhan was in lockdown for 50 days. And in the midst of this, he said, think about it. An infected person, on average, he will infect 2.2 persons per day. But up to a point, this will decline. Why? Because the places that this person went, the public transport, the people he came into contact with, up to a point is about the same. So up to a point, those who should be infected would have been infected. And those who can develop antibodies, they would have produced the antibodies. So roughly around that time, it would decline. So in these 3 days, you saw that in China, there's no local cases. But some people, of course, they commented, we don't know whether we can trust the statistics of China. But some things, you cannot just cover up. It may just explode. And yesterday, if you read the news, you know that in Wuhan, there is no more cases. And so in these 50 days, and then on top of this, every country, they have their lockdown, and they are very nervous, they're very careful with their precautionary measures. So they are extra vigilant in their precautionary measures. So this will surely have an exponential growth, and when it grows, it will be very scary. And so the healthcare system will not be able to bear the burden, but up to a point, it will decline. Around in 3 months' time. Of course, God, whatever God wants to do, no one can know. So if people of the world continue to be arrogant and to depend on themselves, and the church is also not vigilant in prayer, and doesn't evangelize, then of course this thing may continue to extend further. But from yesterday, you know, even the mega churches cannot gather because we have to keep to the quota of 250 people. This is also God's refining of the church. Because some people, they're just very comfortable in the church, in a mega church. So those who are not very serious with God, now they will no longer go to church. So now when the church has to shrink in sizes, some churches suspended, but some still want to meet. Then believers have to meet with more careful spirit. This is actually better for the spiritual life of the church. So mega church may not be good, but you need to let all the believers get involved deeply in the church, not just being an onlooker. So before this kind of things happen, I've been preaching. You know, the mega church culture is not so ideal. So in the book of Acts, churches gather in small numbers. Next, we also need to address this issue because in this pandemic, especially when we think about the elderly, so especially the groups of people with lower immunity, their fatality rate is higher, especially when the healthcare system cannot shoulder or cannot meet the demands. So just now, Sister Chewing said that those who are feeling unwell, you can wear your mask. And I want to say that those who are unwell, they are already at home because the church urge you that if you're unwell with fever, cough, whatever, you must stay at home. But on top of this, for our elderly who are here, like our sister Yu Mei, it is good that you wear your mask. Why do I say that? In Taiwan, when I visited, I keep observing. Why is it that Taiwan has such low numbers of cases? First, they actually shut off people from China 1 or 2 weeks earlier than Singapore. Because back then, the situation in China is the worst. So that critical time frame is very important. So the moment they shut off people from China from entering Taiwan, so they are the first to do that. Second, Taiwanese, they have this awareness that even without the virus, usually in normal days when they have cold or flu, they will wear the mask. Especially in aircon room, I urge all of you, if for the sake of yourself or people around you, now if there's ample seat, you can take you can sit one seat apart. But otherwise, you should wear the mask to protect yourself and protect people around you. And I think this is useful. So I visited Taiwan. So it's like they only have 20, 40, 60 cases, but the other countries, they just grow by exponential rate. But it's not as if Taiwan didn't test. They also test, but the numbers grow very slowly. So I always go to Taiwan. I know their culture. So at such moments, if you go running outside, you need not wear a mask, you will faint. But in an aircon room, you can wear the mask. If you have the mask, next week, you have mask, please bring your mask. So now I thank God for those of you who are wearing. So when you listen to the sermon, you can take down slightly to breathe. Do that. This is some precautionary I am giving you since we want to meet. And since God's word is so important, but at least we do this kind of minimal precaution. So you just bear with this for 2 or 3 months and you see how the situation will evolve. And continue to pray for the church and for this pandemic. Next, some brethren, your business may be affected. Let me tell you, when believers help and love one another, there's no one problem that cannot be resolved. In the book of Acts, when the believers were driven out of the synagogues, they have everything in common. We have not come to the point where we need to share everything in common. But right now, it's like this. We need to interact with one another. For example, some of us, they are doing facial. because the business will surely be affected, because you have to touch people's face. And people will not come to let you touch their face, especially you are from the Life Church and Missions. So among us, there are many sisters. So brethren, among the brothers, there are also people who like to go for a facial. So you just visit the sisters who provide facial services in our church. So those of you who are driving taxi, so those of you who want to, who need to get to work, find those of them who are driving taxi right now. You bless your brethren. You do that. If you have any business opportunity, look for people around us, among us, who is providing that services. For example, we only have 100 plus to 200 people, including those who are listening online. Actually, different churches, they can bless your own sheep, and it is the wiser to do this right now. God will not time us beyond what we can bear. After a while, after this, it will get better. May the Lord bless all of us, and that's why we need to gather. The church leaders doesn't just urge you to come, because you need to see the leaders, then you have the assurance. So when the leaders urge you to meet, there is surely a message for you. And after that, you pray and quickly go home and continue to pray for the family members of our sister Anna, and pray for each of us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that today you have encouraged us with your word. That today when we hear your word, we have a direction. We know what to do. Lord, we humans are ignorant, but we ask the all-knowing God. You are the God full of wisdom. You are the King full of wisdom. So when you allow a virus to come upon us, you will surely bring about the strategy to deal with that virus. So Lord, please help us personally. Lord, at this moment, we pray for our whole church, whether those who have met here physically or those who are receiving the message online. Lord, help everyone that we can get encouragement and strength from your word, and that we also receive wisdom to look at things differently from people of the world. Lord, we are saddened by the passing of our sister, but we also know that she has rested in the arms of the Lord. So we pray for her family, for you to comfort them and encourage them. Lord, please give our church and our church leaders the wisdom that in everything we do, we will do with love and wisdom. Lord, we thank you, and may all glory be to you. And we pray and give thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.